Happy Monday. Happy Sens game day to Jamie Baker. We've turned this day upside down. Normally, you hear this guy in the post-game show and the pre-game show. Now he's here for the morning show. He's not quite sure he wants to be here, but
how'd you
he
get
is.
The short straw on this one? This is like...
Well, you got the short straw. Yeah.
This was by choice. I got asked to do it. Thanks for having me on. I'm not sure about the intro. This special guest, which I don't agree with that. And then you're like, well, let's see how it is after 4 hours. Initially putting pressure on it this hour. I don't know. Well, that's how it's going
to
be.
You're a former professional hockey player. You should be used to pressure.
Hey, if you're going to, you lay it out. I just follow suit as we go. So.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, I get to see, pop the hood and see what's going on behind the engine. Yeah, this morning show that I listen to quite regularly. So.
It's usually disappointing. Well, it's kind of like when you meet people for the first time that have listened to you for your long time, and they always say, geez, you don't look anything like you sound. And I say, yeah, it's always disappointing. So
you're taller. You're taller than I thought. You're like, what were you thinking?
Exactly. Well, thanks for coming in. Appreciate it.
No, my pleasure.
What is your normal kind of routine? Are you usually up at this hour? Or?
I am. Yeah, I am usually up. Set my alarm around at 5:33. I have 3 9-minute snoozes. Then I get up at 6 a.m. It works.
Okay.
I like those 27 minutes. Those are a relaxing, heavenly 27 minutes for me. I'm not get right out of bed guy.
No.
And then I'm usually, if I'm going into the office, which is in the World Exchange Plaza, the company I work for, my digital marketing company I work for, I'm out of the house at 6:30, 6:45. 95% of the time, listen to you guys. That's my, there it is.
What's the other 5%?
Not listening to you guys.
Wow.
Could be some work mixed in there, maybe?
Speaking of popping the hood, let's find out why Jamie Baker doesn't listen to the other 5%
you should
of the show.
You should be happy. 95 is a good number.
It is, but listen, we try to achieve 100% listenership here.
Well,
on the
let's
show.
Face it. 95% is way more than what our families listen to, JR.
My family is at 0%.
Yeah, I'm at about maybe 9.
Actually, I carpool sometimes. I carpool. So sometimes I'm not listening to any radio.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Why not?
Because we're talking business, talking work.
At that hour of the day?
Talking shop.
Yeah. Like right into it?
Yep. Sometimes.
That can be a bit much. I mean, honestly, do you want to be talking shop?
Or listening to music, but we're not listening to sports radio. I didn't want to say it. But if you're gonna bleed it out of me, so be it.
There's only one rule on this show. There are no rules. Okay? So you feel free to say anything you want to say beyond the 7 words you can't say on the radio.
Exactly.
It's the only thing you can't do. So you've come in prepared and
I don't know about that.
Well, I kind of just said, listen, I'll just bring in some notes and we'll just chat. That's what the show's all about. And God love you. You've come in. Now, you prepared some notes on a file folder, which is interesting. Like most people would go with kind of just like some loose paper or maybe even some type sheets or maybe something. You brought a little laptop in with
that's
you as well.
That's an iPad.
iPad,
but yeah.
Okay. Yep. You brought in that, but you've gone with jotting down notes on a file folder, which is interesting. Do you want to keep them for posterity? Or?
I don't. I don't, as a matter of fact.
Because I'm
blanking I don't have a great memory.
Okay.
So I blame it on a lot of it on the concussions I've had. So trying to, like, I actually marvel sometimes at some of the stories you or Simmer bring up from the past, or AJ, or Lee, you know, or Creech.
Most of them are made up.
Or Lloydie. Yeah, well, people don't know that. Okay. That's the part you're not supposed to say. So I have trouble sometimes remembering things, and so I take notes. But this file folder, when I was a broadcaster with the Sharks, I initially did radio, so I was pretty much always in the press box, and I would just do it on my notes on paper, my pregame prep. And when I was doing TV, anytime I was inside the glass, I was looking for a better system. See, I would have more than one piece of paper, but then you're flipping paper around. It was a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
So I saw it was, I don't know who it was. I think it was in Nashville. One of their broadcasters had this file folder, and it allows me to front, back, and if I need extra information, like I used to put coaches' quotes and different things that I could just go to. I knew where it was. I didn't use it that often during a game.
Yeah.
But I knew where everything was. But it was actually just by writing things down allowed me to, that was my prep.
But that would be a one-off, or would you keep the file folder so every time that the Sharks played whomever, the Kings, you had your Kings file folder?
So I would keep them, and I would look back because I would always have like a little note on a player, just some of his habits and details, you know, like might be something about his skating stride or another facet of his game, especially players that you're not that aware of, like players that are newer to the league, something like that, even some of the depth players, just to have like little nuggets on them that you don't use that. You know, you only use maybe 5% in a game because it's all ad lib as you go.
Yep.
But you don't know who and when you're going to be talking about. So you're just... So I did a little preparation this weekend. All you do is watch sports and take a couple of notes. I don't know. Don't say
it's easy.
I didn't say it was easy. It was fun. It was fun. My girlfriend's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I have to watch the sports. I'm getting ready for the.
Now, is she a sports fan of any? So-so?
Like not golf, not basketball. Okay. So when I was watching that this weekend, she will sit down and watch a Sens game with me.
Yeah.
You know, the odd time.
That's about it, though.
Soccer's her sport. She likes soccer. Yeah, she played it.
Watch or play?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, both.
Awesome. So. I wanted to ask you about life between the – so you said you did radio to start, and then you when you moved into television, were you always between the benches when you did TV, or did you start upstairs? And then – because that kind of came in, you know, early 2000s, I want to say. Like Pierre Maguire, I remember he was one of the very first to do it kind of full-time.
So I think I did radio 9 years.
Yeah.
And then I was replacing a really popular guy, Drew Amenda, who's out there now, and he's a great guy. So the first year, like, stay off Twitter kind of thing. It didn't matter really what I did. When you're replacing someone popular, it's a different voice. It's
people
different vantage points. They don't like it, right? Yeah. So, and it was just learning the reps. It was completely different medium. It was really interesting. It was a tougher transition than I thought, because radio, you're painting the picture for people. Like, you're assuming that they're in their car, even if you're doing a hockey game at night.
Yep.
You're painting a picture for them. Where TV, and you can kind of ramble on a little bit. You got more time. TV, you've got a specified amount of time, and it's not a lot of time. And you have to kind of talk about what people are watching.
Right.
So you have to be way more succinct. So you got to tighten up what you're going to say, and you just got to get used to it. And you are at the beck and call a lot of time of what the producer's actually showing you.
Right.
So that's the difference.
I meant in terms of, though, between the benches.
Yeah. So like predominantly, I'm answering the question now. Predominantly was a long sentence. You told me fill the air. That's what I'm filling the air. Jeez, give me crap already. And I haven't even, we're not even 20 minutes into this.
No, I'm just trying to guide you along.
You know,
that's
Biggs,
all.
You're my favorite already for busing Jer.
What's going on here?
And the first 10 minutes of this show of this week, and you were just ramming on JR. You're my number one seed right now.
It was a sentence with a comma, not a period.
I just asked what it was like between the benches.
I know you did. It was a long-winded answer because you told me long-winded answers work on radio. And I'm like, I know, I worked in radio for 16 years. So anyway, that's kind of the behind the scenes of the difference between radio and television.
Yes.
When I was on television the first year, predominantly upstairs, so I could build some chemistry with Randy Hahn, the TV play-by-play guy there who'd been there forever. So, and did some games down between the glass, but my second year, I did a lot more down. They really liked having me down low. Like our producer, just the different vantage points, the different things that I could see down there. I was picking up different things.
Yep.
You miss certain things because you don't get a bird's eye view, but you're picking up kind of the energy, things that are happening on the bench. So a little bit more behind the scenes type of thing that he thought kind of enhanced the broadcast.
Did you share that? Like if you could choose one or the other, would you have rather stayed upstairs?
I liked both, but I preferred being in between the benches.
Yeah.
You know,
can hear what they're saying, right? I'm guessing that's or is that that interesting at the end of the day? It's just guys swearing at each other.
Yeah. So I did, like, in San Jose, the benches are like right beside each other, like they are, but I was kind of on the end of the Sens bench, and there's a pane of glass, and then you're on the other bench. So like there'd be some chirping.
You were literally on the bench.
I was on the bench.
Okay.
Yeah, like they had where they opened the door, they had to put a stopper so the door wouldn't hit me. And they wanted to put some contraption that kind of allowed me to be in this space, but it was going to be too small. If a puck ever came in there, it would have ricocheted around. I would have got hit.
Right.
So it allowed me the freedom to still move from a flaying stick or a puck or anything, which happened every now and then. But I could pick up guys if they came off, you know, especially second period, the long change, guys run into each other. So if there was chirping, there was some, who was it? It was Wilson from Tom Wilson and Joe Thornton. Really went at it one time. And I kept my mic open, so I didn't hit the mute button, and it picked up kind of what they were saying. It was good.
There were no expletive deleted?
Yeah. You know, that's not my fault. Unless the producer tells me to hit the mute button,
yeah.
I'm kind of like, well, this is kind of, you want behind the scenes, yeah. This is behind the scenes.
Okay.
Let's
right.
roll with it.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And yes, Jumbo Joe has said a few interesting things over the years in a setting where he's being interviewed, right? So I'm sure on the ice, it'd be even more so.
Yes.
Interesting
so
character.
You get to see that. It's hard to hear it because you got your headphones on, and if it's during the play by, you know, there's talking. Yeah. So you get the play-by-play guy talking. You know, Randy'd be talking. I'd be listening to him, or I'm hearing something from the producer if it's in between whistles or something. So there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It was great picking up things down there, and it kind of gives you some adrenaline too, because it's the game is so fast at ice level. Like I always say, like if you're sitting up high, if you're in the 300s at the CTC or in the press box, when you're watching the game, you're kind of, why didn't this guy do that? And if you're down at ice level right along the glass, you're like, how did he do that?
Right.
Like that's just being in the same building. That's kind of the different samples of what you get from watching an NHL game.
Yeah. Good stuff. Oh, we got to the answer by the end there. That was good. It was good.
You got to. That's called a delayed comeback, by the way.
Yeah, way like delayed.
10 minutes later.
Feel free to always call JR out on stuff while you're here, Bakes. It's appreciated on this side.
What is the ganging up on me?
It just seems to be, you know, you get away with a lot of patting yourself on the back, all your monikers. It's just nice to know that there's another voice out there that's willing to call you out.
I don't know that it's patting myself on the back. It's just more accuracy. That's all it is. It's just good point by me. It's just saying, well, it was a good point, and it was by me. So I might as well say, for those that weren't listening, because like Bakes, talk and shop on his way into work, he tunes it, turns it on.
5% of the time.
Good point by me. So it was a good point by JR. One in JR's side. So there we go.
You usually let other people compliment you. You don't usually compliment yourself.
Tell you what, if Bakes makes a good point at some point in the 4-hour show, I'll say good point by you.
Got a special guest here. Well, we'll see about that after 4 hours. Anyway, we'll be back with that specific guest in a few moments.
All right, 6:24. We'll take a break. We got lots to get to. It's a busy, busy sports weekend, and we got a game coming up tonight. Big game. This is as close to a must-win as a must-win can be without being a must-win, as the Florida Panthers are in town against the Sens, one of the teams they got to haul in if they're going to make a very, very, very late run at a playoff spot. So big game tonight, so we'll set that up, talk about the game on the weekend, talk about the injuries, more injuries for the Sens, with Jake Chychrun and Ridly Greig, so we'll go through all that, and who might be back and who might be in the lineup coming up later on this week. So lots of that to go through, as we said, a bunch of stuff. Got some code words for you. It's our final week of our Great Sens jersey giveaway. So code word number one's coming up after 7 o'clock this morning. And Dave Pullen is our TSN Hockey Insider to join us after 8. We'll take a break, 6:24. Jamie Baker is in for Sean Simpson, who's on holidays this week. You're listening to Sports Radio, TSN 1200. Welcome back, 6:28 on this Monday morning. It's JR. Jamie Baker is in for the vacationing. Sean Simpson, in fact, and Hammer's here. In fact, doing... double duty today, Bakes. So you weren't, we got a game tonight, and you weren't scheduled to do the pre and post game show. But then Brad Smith, who was scheduled to do the pre and post game show, ends up coaching his team to the U18 AAA final, and they've got a game tonight. So he calls you up, I guess, and well, he called me up and said, Bakes and I are going to switch. And I said, okay, sounds good. And did you realize that when you switched the days that you were also coming in on this show?
I did.
Okay. And?
Happy to help Shooter out. No. It's the playoffs.
Exactly. No, I understand that.
Yeah, no problem. Okay. I'm going to my day job after here.
Yeah.
And then I go to the Sens game. So today's a long day. It's fine.
You sure?
I can do it. Right. I don't know. Let's find out tonight. Who's doing the intermissions and postgame? I may ask for a short postgame
tonight.
Steve
Lloyd on the pregame.
Yeah.
Not sure who's on the postgame.
I don't know if it was
a
text or an email, but Commissioner Gary Bettman in.
Correct.
That's exciting.
He's going to be he's actually going to be on the pregame show at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
The Tiny Perfect Commissioner is in town for his visit to Ottawa. And he'll be on the doing the tour. He's going to meet with Mayor Mark Sutcliffe today, the NCC. Then he's going to go to the game and be part of our pregame show at 5 o'clock tonight. So
just a lot of dignitaries visiting Ottawa at this time of year.
They can't be stopped. Who wouldn't? It's such a nice place to visit.
End of March in Ottawa.
Who wouldn't want gray, snowy, cold? I can't get enough of that.
People feel good about wherever they are. They're like, wow, they still have snow there, and it's like winter snow.
Yeah, exactly. All right, this text comes in at 12-1200. Come on, JR, not if Bakes makes a good point, when he makes one. Got to stick up for my fellow digital marketing pro. That's from Tim. So
that's
there,
from
you
Tim. There you
got
go.
Got some people in your corner.
That a boy, Tim.
All right.
It's noted and appreciated.
There you go. Guys, there's 7 points back. There are no big games. Yeah, listen, they're all big games until they aren't big games, until you're eliminated. Okay? Right? Are they eliminated? No, they're not. So it's a big game. Sens in Florida tonight. All right, we'll talk about that game, the injuries, etc. But let's reflect back upon Saturday's game in New Jersey, a game the Sens led, then trailed 3-1, fought back to tie 3-3. Let's take you to early in the third.
Back the other way, here's Jack Hughes. DeBrinket gets on his horse, gets back to defend. And Hughes ends up with it again. Moves it across. Here's Hamilton with a shot. Scores! Puts it over top of Ferguson, and the Devils retake the lead.
There you go. There's Dean Brown with a call here on TSN 1200 of Dougie Hamilton's game winner early in the third period. Probably one that Dylan Ferguson, the Sens goalie, would, as they say, like to have back. He was a bit played that one a little bit awkwardly. We'll put it that
way.
Yeah,
he did his lateral movement, and then he didn't shore up the short side. There wasn't a lot for the right-handed shooting Hamilton to shoot at, and I don't know if he bounced it in off of Ferguson's shoulder or not, but there was a series of mistakes just prior to that. There should never have really been a scoring chance. You know, like if you hear Brown's call, Dean's call, DeBrinket was coming back hard on the back check. So they had three guys coming back. Batherson was coming back. Pinto was back. But there was a little turn up over on the boards. Hamonic stepped up. He lost Hughes. And then Batherson just drifted out of position
again,
which he tends to do. He did it the game before in Tampa on Tampa's first goal. He just drifted by like for no reason. It was like he's just thinking offense or whatever, but he wasn't in good position. And then he found himself in poor defensive position because he'd turned his back to the play. And there's a nice easy pass across, you know, across the slot. So now you're forcing your goalie to move completely from right post to left post. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't get the angle quick enough, tight enough, and it ends up going in on the short side. But there's also, you know, when I look at that, when I analyze that goal, as I did when I was watching the game, I went back, you know, on the DVR, and I'm like, oh boy, they got to be, you know, this is.
Series of unfortunate events.
You're tired. You're tied 3-3. You can't make those defensive mistakes at this time of the year. Like, there should be no scoring chance against. You have the numbers. You need to take care of the middle of the ice, and they didn't do it.
The sorting out in the defensive zone is still an issue which rears its head, right? Sometimes they have enough, as you said, they have enough guys back, and it's kind of like, well, if everybody kind of knows what they're supposed to do in this situation, should be okay in this situation. But I don't know. It's better than it used to be, but it's still at times, as you said, there should be no way whatsoever with everybody back that Dougie Hamilton ends up now. He's not in a prime scoring position, and you know the goalie's got to have the post there. Like that shouldn't go in.
No.
But as you said, the lead up to that even allowed him to be in a position where he could potentially score a goal. Right. So to me, the sorting out is still an issue, and I don't know if it runs 1-12 deep in terms of the forwards. But there are enough mistakes made by enough guys that, you see what you end up seeing, like Saturday night.
What you can't do, and you see what the Sens, you know, if they're not totally on their game or this is where they're giving up key goals at the wrong time, is they're compounding one sorting out mistake after another. You know, there were two or three mistakes in a row that opens up Hamilton on the far side. Like you said, Ferguson's probably still got to, he's got to make that save, doesn't, but you can elude some of those chances by if one guy doesn't sort properly, but if the other four guys take care of business and you're pushing the other team to the perimeter, it allows you time to get back into good position, being between the man and the net, taking away the passing lanes, whatever it is, whatever your positioning is, you can reposition yourself because the game is so fast. Like every team in the league will have moments in a game where they're not sorting properly, but it's how quickly can they get back into that position?
Right.
The team that's best at it, when you watch them, is Boston. They just don't, they're not running around. It's like this collective group of five guys all the way back, all the way up the ice. They kind of just smother you. I watched their game on Saturday against Tampa. I was more curious to see how Tampa played because they were coming off three losses, you know, the beat up against Ottawa 7-2. And they came out to play physical, fight, right, you know, first thing in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a fun game to watch, but really impressive to watch that Bruins team. If you want to watch a team that tracks and sorts properly, go watch a Boston Bruins game. It doesn't have to be against the Sens, against anybody. And
right.
They play the game the right way.
Do you think, and you, I mean, you talked about this a million times, I'm sure, on post-game shows in particular. Do you like whatever system, you know, because I think that's the criticism of fans from a defensive point of view is they don't like the system that Ottawa runs. Is the system that Ottawa runs vastly different than what most teams do? Or is it the players, for whatever reason, whether they don't have the brain power to do it, whether they're not listening to the coach, whether the coach is not coaching them right? What is it? Is it system or is it player slash coach?
So this is one of the things I did because I knew I was like trying to anticipate a few things we would talk about and it veers down a specific road. Since December 1st, the Sens, I looked at the points percentage. They're 15th in the league. That's in a playoff. 7th in the East, 15th in the league. I think everybody, you know, across this fan base would be happy right now if the Sens were sitting in 7th place in the Eastern Conference. You'd be like, that's great. Well, if that was the case, then is the system a good system? Or is it just the players? And so you have to, it's easy to criticize after a loss or a series of losses and blame one specific entity, whether that be the general manager, we don't have the right players, the coaches, we don't have the right systems, the players, they don't know what they're doing out there. You know, like who's at fault? But at the same time, you have to say, well, what happens when the team is playing well? And since December 1st, and I know they've been on a tough run lately, but we knew March was going to be a tough month. Like you just looked at the schedule and there's so many games within a short period of time and some really quality opponents. Like you knew fatigue was going to be a factor. You're going to lose some close games that even if you play well, because you're playing really good teams, that's what's been happening the last week and a half. So for me, it has to do more with the players on the ice because I see this team, like those two games against Detroit, and right. They just outman them.
Yeah.
But the system looked great. So the system is similar. You know, it's you're pushing the other team to the perimeter. You're switching off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to have your switches. You're trying to angle them down into the corner. You're trying to take the low to high play away. You know, you're getting in shooting lanes, boxing out in front of the net. But it's happening at, you know, such a rapid rate. And some teams are better, you know, play the low cycle a little bit better. So you have to be more cognizant of that. Some teams, they have really, you know, mobile defensemen. So they're going to try and work it up on their D and they'll do a bit of a high, you know, high cycle. They'll try and draw you right. out away from the net. So you have to be prepared for whatever situation's there. The system's in place. It's up to the players individually to pay attention to it. And that's where it doesn't take much for one cog in the wheel to break. And then other guys are like I said, do you have four guys covering for you? Or if there's you compound mistakes, if one guy misses his guy and then that leads to one other mistake, the next thing you know, you're giving up a grade A scoring chance. So to me, it's more the onus is more on the players than it is on the coaches in regards to the Sens, because I've seen them play really good structured hockey. Like I said, since December 1st, my whole issue with this team is the month of November.
Right.
You know, I've talked to all the other, you know, hosts that I've worked with on the pre and post game shows know that. You know, they've been chasing since then. I've liked a lot about this team, their game. You know, their special teams has been good. So there's a lot of things to like about the team since December 1st. However, they've been chasing since then. So one of the things I'm not blaming the coaches on necessarily is structure, because this team has been able to play with structure and beat some decent teams and go on little mini runs.
All right, well, they'll get a big test tonight because the Florida Panthers are in town. That's one of the teams that Ottawa is trying to catch. It's getting down to the short strokes in terms of, the playoffs actually begin, believe it or not, 3 weeks from today. And so there's only 2.5 weeks left in the regular season. nine games for Ottawa starting tonight against Florida. They'll go into tonight's game four back of the Panthers and seven back of Pittsburgh, which right now is in the second and final wild card spot. So, again, the odds are long. They only get longer with every game that you lose, and especially if you don't pick up a loser point like they didn't on Saturday. So it made that loss against New Jersey so costly. But what are your expectations for tonight against a was it the Panthers in which they played down in Florida? I think that was in November, right? That was one of those games that they just got absolutely weren't the shots like 50-something to that was a Saturday afternoon game, I want to say.
Anyway, yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
That was a long time ago, and like to your point, perhaps a different Sens team back then than the one we'll see now. But this is, as the smart people say, a must win tonight for Ottawa.
I mean, looking at the schedule, obviously the clock is ticking. I think they probably have to win nine games, eight at a very minimum. That's assuming two of the teams actually struggle, well, like of the Pittsburgh Islanders or Florida struggle.
They're at 75 now. Right now, the Islanders and Pittsburgh are at on pace for 92. Ottawa would have to go 9-for-9 to get to 93.
Right.
So, at the very worst, they can go as 8-1.
At the very worst.
Yeah.
So, assuming that they have to beat Florida the two times they play them, that way that gives you an opportunity to pass Florida. If you go 8-1, then maybe you got a chance of catching Pittsburgh or the Islanders.
Right.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Depending on it, it takes just one of them to falter a little bit, which they've been apt to do. You know, it's been up and down. I wasn't happy with Mo Mantha the other night. I don't know if you saw that.
No.
Oh, man. So Washington tied the game up with 2.5 minutes left against Pittsburgh, 3-3. And then Mo Mantha with a little over
Anthony
a minute.
Anthony Mantha.
So
you went with Mo Mantha, and I'm like, old time. Is he a coach
Thank
somewhere
you.
That I don't know about?
That's who I used to play against. Anthony Mantha. Sorry.
There you go. That's okay.
Yeah. Thank you. Anyway, Mantha came out of his own zone. It was near the end of a shift. The two defensemen for Washington start to change, and then Mantha, between his blue line and the center ice red line, tries to deke around Malkin. Yep. Malkin pokes the puck from him, goes in.
Yep.
Now the 2D who were starting to change don't. They're scrambling back. Malkin ends up scoring a minute and 20 left in the game. That turned out to be the winning goal, and that was a huge goal for Pittsburgh. They ended up winning that game in regulation. So you're cheering for Washington to help the Sens in that regard. But 8-1, at a minimum, I see two desperate teams going at it tonight.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it'll be a good battle of the Tkachuks. See who can come out on top. So it's going to be a fun night at the CTC.
Literally, this would be, I think, the first time we could say that Brady and Matthew would play each other with something on the line. Like, it's been, and all the time when, Brady has been here in Ottawa and Matthew was in Calgary, there were different conferences. You're not really battling against a team from another conference, right, for a playoff spot. And the Sens weren't very good, to be quite honest with you. Earlier this year, there's not a sense of urgency early in the season like there is late in the season. So you could make, I think, a pretty sound argument that tonight is the very first time these two guys will play head-to-head in five seasons in which there is something on the line.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
And if the Sens aren't able to go 8-1 or 9-0 to finish the year and potentially make the playoffs, which is going to be extremely difficult to do, especially considering they play Carolina twice, they do have an opportunity to play spoiler against Florida.
Yeah.
So Brady has a chance.
I'll send you home, Matthew. You'll be with me in St. Louis.
As much as he cheered for him last year in the playoffs,
yeah,
he has a chance to knock him out of the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
So makes it more intriguing, to say the least.
Now, we heard from DJ Smith late last week when Tyler Cleven eventually signed and had his first practice on Friday, whereas Pierre Dorion was very much of, we'll see if we can get him some games. And it sounded like they would try, but it was kind of like, well, if and when we're officially eliminated, we'll put him in then. Well, then Jake Chychrun ends up getting injured in the game Thursday. We find out Saturday it's 2 weeks. So maybe the rest of the season. He was skated yesterday. It was an optional yesterday. So he's had one practice and one optional practice. Too early to put him into, would you put him into a game tonight?
No.
No.
Not yet. Not yet.
Thursday, maybe?
Possibly. If it depends on depends on how the team does tonight, first of all, and then if he gets he needs another practice.
Yep.
He needs a few practices just to, just to start to feel comfortable with the fact. Like he even said, he was a little awestruck just walking in. Like, this is your dream your whole life. Your goal is to play in the NHL. But until you actually you know, walk into a dressing room. It's still just a dream, even though he thought maybe, you know, the chances of it happening are improving as he's getting better and better and, you know, playing good hockey at North Dakota. You walk in that room, he said he met Claude Giroux, and he was, like, kind of awestruck a
little bit. Holy smokes.
Yeah, like, holy smokes, you know? Like, well, that's how I was in Quebec. I get called up, and there's Guy Lafleur in the same dressing room. I'm like, what's going on here?
Like, didn't he lend you his car to go home for Christmas?
Yeah, he did.
I heard that story. That was
awesome.
Yeah,
he did. But, you know, like, you can't believe that you're in the same dressing room as these guys.
Right.
And so he's got to get through that and kind of feel comfortable on the ice, learn the systems a little bit. The pro game's obviously a lot different than the college game. So give him a few practices to get comfortable and then go from there.
I'm assuming that you, and I want to speak for you, that you didn't spend a lot of time watching North Dakota games.
I have not.
Okay.
So I'm going to lean on you for that. Have
well,
you?
No. I watched a couple of years ago when they had four prospects. I did watch, you know, but, you know, the Tyler Cleven we saw 2 years ago when he was a freshman is not the same Tyler Cleven that we heard about this year. So I didn't a lot, but I'm really, I just, from a skill set point of view, if kind of what he brought in the college game he can bring to the NHL game, that's something I think that's really lacking in the Sens defense. Like, if he can achieve that level, no guarantees. I think he feels like the kind of the perfect defenseman that they would need if he gets to that level.
And that's kind of what Pierre Dorion said, you know, is we don't have anybody in our pool of prospects like him. He plays different than the current, you know, group of defensemen we have. So he brings intangibles, differentiates himself. That's what you want as a player, too. You want to have differentiating attributes that can enhance a team's roster in some manner. So good for him on that. And by the way, this is another reason why I listen to the morning show. So I learn stuff about guys like Tyler Cleven, and it prepares me for when I do the broadcast
at night.
So
you sound like a smart guy at night.
Exactly.
You shouldn't
I'm not stealing. I'm just borrowing.
Stop carpooling with those nerds and talking about work and start listening to sports radio more.
Stop worrying about the 5% and focus on the 95.
I want 100%.
You're like a golfer right now. You've got a golfer mentality.
Oh, listen, you should talk to my wife about it. I fixate on the smallest things and it drives me crazy. Like, I got a piece of, I'm gathering all my stuff for tax season. All right, I started doing that in the weekend. I got a piece of paper last week and I put it in a spot and I said, okay, I need this. And I put it in a spot where I'd remember it on top of the other papers that were important. Last night, I'm going through and sorting out all my papers. Can you think I can find that one piece? I can't find it. It's driving me crazy. Absolutely bonkers. Like my wife said, would you just relax? But I can't. Anyway, I fixate on small things, but that's okay.
Did you find it?
No.
Oh. Who touched it? Who moved it?
Listen, somebody else is to blame. That's all I know. It's not my fault. It's someone else's fault. And I'm looking at the dog. All right, 6:47. We got the Sens and the Panthers coming up tonight. 7 o'clock will be the puck drop. 5 o'clock pregame show with Steve Lloyd and All Day Baker, who will be with you through the pre- and postgame show tonight. All right, we'll take a break. Come back. Lots of other stuff to go through from the weekend. Always welcome your thoughts as well. You can text us at 12-1200. Tweet at us at TSN 1200 as we roll on a Sens game day Monday. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. Welcome back, 6:50 on this Monday morning, Sens game day Monday. It's JR Jamie Baker sitting in for the vacationing Sean Simpson alongside Hammer. We got Dave Poulin, our TSN hockey insider, ready to join us coming up after 8. Did you have any memories of Dave Poulin? Your paths would have crossed on the ice
barely
at some point.
Yeah, just like
he retired mid 90s.
Yeah.
And your wheelhouse was what?
Yeah, like I was just breaking into the NHL.
Yeah.
So
you didn't get high stick by it. Like there's nothing like as we prepare for him coming on.
No.
Like there, you know,
he was a wily vet.
Yeah.
Well respected wily veteran. That's what he was in the league. Really smart hockey player.
Yep. Well, kind of extended into a 10-year coaching career at Notre Dame and then assistant general manager in a couple of spots, and now on TSN.
So. Yeah, he does a great job broadcasting, too.
Yeah,
it's really fun listening to him.
All right, so we got the Sens in Florida for you tonight, and then Thursday, Philadelphia is in town. Saturday, it's the Leafs for the second and final visit of the season, and we've got a chance for someone to win tickets to that game coming up later this morning. And one of the things, Bakes, you're going to it'll be your inaugural edition of Sens or Sensibility. I don't know, on the 5% of the show that you don't listen to, whether that's always played in that. But if you're unfamiliar with Sens or Sensibility, we'll do that later this morning as well. You're looking at me quizzically like I have no idea what you're talking about right now.
No, I've heard you guys do it. I'm a little nervous about that. That's the only thing I was...
What's there to be nervous about?
Just the fear of failure.
You'll
the fear
fine.
Of failure.
Oh, Trust me, there's enough of that on the show. That's the norm.
Failure is our motto.
That's it. That's what we do.
Well,
here.
That's comforting. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Now things are moving along better. Yeah. As we near hour two, I feel like there's a little bit of chemistry.
Wait till you hear my FanDuel picks from Friday and how well I did.
Okay. I won't. Well, I texted you my bad beat of all time on Friday. Anyway, we don't need to talk about that at all. No, we don't. Of all the other stuff that was going on the weekend, as you said, you were doing research. You told your girlfriend as you watched a lot of sports on TV in the weekend, you were doing research. Anything jump out at you? College basketball, golf, anything? Spring training, wrapping up?
Both. I'm trying to get into baseball. That's going to be like a goal. I told Cam Big Red that last year that I was going to get. But then I didn't do it. So I failed.
That's okay.
You can't do it. Like, I got back into F1 last year. But I didn't get back into baseball. I shouldn't say get back into baseball. I was going to try and follow the Jays more. I didn't do it. So I'm going to – it's like a small goal, not a huge goal.
I think this season is going to be a little bit easier just because games aren't going to be as long. So I don't think there's going to be a lot of people afraid to lend their time to this sport because they know now it's not going to be a 3.5-hour, 4-hour investment. Now you've got spring training yesterday, Jays and Yanks, 2.5 hours. See you later. In and out. Fantastic.
That's way better, eh?
Yeah.
So I paid attention to, obviously, March Madness.
Yeah.
Just great, eh? Like, the amount of upsets and, like, I had to go search. I didn't know. Did you know where Creighton was from? I didn't know they were from Omaha, Nebraska.
Omaha, Nebraska.
Yeah.
Did you know? Okay. I did not know that. I looked it up. Do you know any of the history of Florida Atlantic University?
I don't and didn't look it up.
It is one of the state schools of Florida. So we are all familiar with Florida State. It is actually another state school.
Okay.
Only just far less known. 30,000. I kind of pictured it as being some campus of like 5,000 students or something. 30,000.
Oh, so it's pretty
big. Carleton, you know how big Carleton is?
The campus?
How many students go to Carleton?
I'm going to say 12,000.
I was going to say 10.
40.
What? 40?
Yeah. And there's more than 50 at U Ottawa. Mm. Like the schools we have here in the city are as big or bigger than a lot of these schools that we're very familiar with watching U.S. college basketball or not watching it at all.
I don't want to take credit for Florida Atlantic, but I'm about to take credit for Florida Atlantic as when our time in Florida over March break in Boca, we were 5 minutes down the street from FAU campus.
That's right.
We toured around. We didn't get out of the car. I just wanted to drive down and take a look at it because I hadn't heard of the school.
Yeah.
And it looked massive.
What is the campus like?
Just massive.
No, but it's got any – is it?
No.
I'm not thinking it's got any history. Like, it's not like an it's not like driving through Princeton, you know? No.
No, nothing like that. No. It's just
– a lot of concrete.
It's just massive. It's just huge.
No, 30,000 students, so.
Lots of palm trees, though.
A ton of palm trees.
So
that's a nice campus in itself.
Yeah, exactly. So one of Florida Atlantic or San Diego State is going to be playing a week from today in the March in the final. Like, it's just great. Great. We have three of the four teams have never even been to the Final Four, let alone being in the final, let alone actually winning it. UConn is the only team of the four that are left that's got any kind of resume when it comes to this. And that's why they have quickly become the big betting favorite, and they're playing great basketball right now.
First time ever in the tournament that since seeding that they've never number one seed didn't even make it to the Elite Eight.
Yeah,
so just crazy this year.
Yeah,
and by the way, in my research, I don't know, I might have heard it on a broadcast or saw it on Twitter, but it kind of resembles in an opposite way 2008. So you may not know this. That was the only time in tournament history all four number one seeds went to the Final Four. So this is the complete opposite scenario of that.
Wow.
There you go.
Good knowledge there.
Well, that's what Twitter does every now and then. You get these little nuggets and you write them down. Yeah,
but you're not supposed to say that you read it somewhere. You just present it like you knew it.
Well, I would never have thought of it. I wonder if all four number one seeds ever made it to the Final Four. Like, that didn't cross my...
We're nowhere close this year. We got a 4, 2 5s, and a 9.
Yep.
That's what's left.
And I watched the golf. And can those guys putt? Those greens were amazing this weekend down in Austin. And
how about just the setting? Oh. Like it was. There's a few holes. First of all, you know, the hole that for those that watch it, I mean, there's a bridge. It's in Austin, Texas. There's just this really cool bridge that goes across the Colorado River, and then the golf course kind of bends back and follows the river for a bit. Like just the setting, the scenery was beautiful.
Yeah, right?
A little bit of money there. I looked into Austin Country Club, and how much would a membership be at? And it's one of those things, if you have to ask, you can't afford it. And no, but it said, and then I went into you know what the regular people say, the initiation, like just to join the club, is $100,000. So if you've got the $100,000 just to join
American,
then it still says they still don't necessarily accept you. Like it's one of those things where it's almost, you got to go for an interview to make sure that you're kind of good enough, even though you got the $100,000. That you're ready to hand over to join this this country club.
That sounds like some of the clubs out in the Bay Area, San Francisco, San Jose.
Where Oakland. You were?
Yes. Yeah, they were a little out of my league.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not always the Olympics, the San Francisco club, those ones, you know, yeah. Like
even the
Los Altos Golf and Country Club. It got up to, I think, $300,000 to join.
Oh, God.
And then you still had to get... Yeah. You know, you still had to be one of the chosen ones to be allowed to.
So it's not just Augusta. We are all familiar with that with Augusta, that very famous. Yeah. I think it was Bill Gates that wanted to join. They said, no, don't think so.
That's yeah.
Just
thanks
because.
Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, would have liked to have seen, to be honest, just on the golf, because I was watching it yesterday morning, and I like Rory McIlroy. Like I like watching him play, and I just like the way he carries himself. I think he's a good guy. Good guy to cheer for. And I wanted to see him and Scottie Scheffler in the final because Scottie Scheffler is the best golfer there is right now. And to see Rory take him on. And it was looking like they were both leading the semifinal, both a couple of holes up on the back nine. And they both ended up losing in a playoff. And so the final for me was not nearly as – well, it ended up being a blowout anyway, but not nearly as enticing.
So. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, we still saw McIlroy go against Scheffler. Pretty good match.
Yeah.
It went back and forth.
Yeah.
Scheffler, he in a few of his matches this week –
he was behind.
He was behind and found us. We just kept coming. He just keeps coming. I mean, like I said, the putting was great. And then McIlroy, I think on Friday, drove the 375-yard par four green.
One of the greatest drives I've ever seen. Like on the fly, I think to get it over a bunker was 360 yards on the fly.
It's crazy.
And then still had it roll up beside the pin.
That's changing the way you play golf
exactly.
When you can hit the ball that far.
Well, now you know why they want to. They've... it became a story a couple of weeks ago, right? They want to roll back the technology on the ball for the pros, not for the average person that plays, but for the pros. They want to essentially kind of change the technology a bit so they won't be able to play it as far because they're essentially making some of the great courses, maybe a little bit too easy, almost like pitch and putts because they can just hit the ball so far now.
So many guys can hit it far, too.
Yep.
Like it's this young generation of guys. Yeah.
Yep.
I'm with that. I'm all for it. Make them... I like watching when it's like -6, -7 is the winning versus minus 20. I like watching those guys. I struggle out there immensely when I'm on the golf course. I like watching those guys when they're mad.
Exactly.
I don't want to see them happy. I want to see them like me. Misery loves company.
I don't want to see people happy. There's Jamie Baker in a nutshell. Okay, you made it through the first hour. You got three more in you?
We're going to find out.
Okay.
If I cut out of here at 9, what's that mean? Is that bad on me or bad on you?
You know what? Let's ponder that and think about it. All right. Keep your texts coming at 12-1200. Tweet at us at TSN1200. We'll take a break. A top of the hour news and sports update is on the way. Hour 2, we're going to talk about the Sens injuries. Jake Chychrun and Ridley Gregg. Gregg out for the season. Chychrun, for all intents and purposes, maybe. And that, of course, has some people talking about his injury history. How much do we... put in the last injury into all of that. We'll bake some of that up for you coming up in the second hour. We'll have another code word for you. Sens or sensibility later. Dave Poulin as well on this Sens game day Monday. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.